It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com here in Phoenix, Arizona. We're gonna go down dark side today. I rarely do this. In 7 years, I think this is probably the third interview I've done on this, but we always, you know, get to the meat of it and try and not pollute our brains too much. This is what's going on. In 2003-04, I did a review of a book I read that was promoted to me and sent to me, and it got my interest because it was called The Race Against Evil, and it was about an Interpol agent that uncovered sex trafficking, child sex slaves and so on around the world, and how it was used politically on an international scale. You want to know why politicians are such scumbags? It's because they start off that way. They're encouraged to be more that way. They're put in office because they're that way. They're more controllable. They can be compromised, blackmailed, coerced, bribed because they're sick. A lot of them are. I mean, I started to realize that in the late 80s, early 90s. I'm just becoming politically aware and being active, and you talk to these men, and I'm going, man, you are one messed up individual. Well, this became a theme that you know, you scratch the surface anywhere, and you just come across all kinds of stuff. So that I read the book, I interviewed the gentleman. There was a lot of controversy. I mean, it's not a story until, you know, they deny it. You know, Interpol is like, why are you even commenting on, you know, they made a big deal out of trying to discredit this guy. And I'm going, why? if it's not true, I mean, why are you giving him such credibility? And then a lot of other stuff would happen. It was interesting. Then we did here recently, a few weeks ago, we did the Franklin scandals. This is where in the United States there was a child prostitution ring that had its ties all the way up to the big boys in Washington, D.C., and it came out of Omaha, Nebraska, where Strategic Air Command is there, and it was just way too many. I mean, let's put it this way. There were three grand juries on this, including state level, because it involved Franklin, Credit Union. And the Franklin Credit Union, the guy that was running this pedophile ring or whatever, he had embezzled $40 million. I got somebody's attention. Then all of a sudden it went away because the CIA – The CIA domestically came in that, yep, thou shalt not look any further. But their guy in Department of Justice kind of made it go away. Well, this kind of lingered for a long time, and there's been books and articles and Washington Post and Times and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it's not like a secret. But then all of a sudden, you know, a new book came out, The Franklin Scandals, and we started on that. The public relations office that promoted that book to me, and I was interested. I understood what it was. I knew the history. So we went ahead and did the show. There's another one. It's called The Bracelet. And it's kind of a historical fiction fact thing. It's kind of like, I would imagine, like Michener or Clavell, you know, writing, you know, about Hawaii. I mean, it's a novel, but you use factual information. Well, that's what we're going to get into. Just how bad this thing is worldwide, and why isn't it being addressed? If you're going to have government protecting individual rights, who needs to be protected more than the children? Charles Bonner, when we come back.
There are those that just want to be left alone.
and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Oh, let's go kill Bill. Whoever Bill is, we're going to find out who Bill is. You know, we got Charles Bonner on, author of The Bracelet. And it's when you're doing a novel, a lot of times you have more freedom to describe a scene and give some empathy from the reader to be able to kind of get into it without, you know, statistics and charts and stats and all that. And we'll get into some of that. But, you know, first, Charles, I got you there.
Have me here, Ernie. How are you doing? Thank you. I'm so grateful and honored to be on your show. And thank you for such a powerful introduction to this, what I consider the most important human rights issue of the day. And that's the issue of child sex slavery.
You know, I appreciate you coming on. And I don't, you know, I mean, I'll tell you, I avoid this subject for the same reason any and everybody else does, is that it's just brain pollution. I choose not to. I don't watch television programs I don't like. I don't, you know, cover issues I don't want to talk about. I don't. But, you know, this is where I come on this and why I'm willing to do this is because as a libertarian, okay, a lot of people, you know, guests probably don't know, my audience, of course, knows this. I look for, if I'm really trying to champion that there should even be a government, why? I mean, the whole purpose, the promise, that's why it's Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. The Declaration of Independence was really simple. It didn't say what kind of government we would have. It just said, you know, how to recognize a bad government and what would cause you to rebel. I mean, your right, your duty, alter, or abolish. And he said, very simply, the purpose of government is the defense of individual rights. And, yes. And if they're not doing that, then what the heck's the point? So the issue of sex slavery, and certainly with children, you have – I can't think of a more helpless individual that's more traumatized for more long-term effect. It's all negative on them and the predator and society. And, I mean, it's just – it's so bad that you would think that this would be way up above arresting people for smoking marijuana, way up above, you know, people for walking on the grass. I mean, way up above, you know, so many stupid things that you're not driving with your seatbelt. I mean, you know, I mean, stupid stuff. And it's totally avoided. And whenever it does come up, there's no focus. So and a lot of times it'll take I have no desire to read your book. I mean, I just tell you straight up, you know, because yeah. I don't need that in my life. What I do need is a focus from the government that would be that this is something that should be addressed. And I want to ask you, in writing this book, and you're an attorney, okay, and tell us about, let's start from there. What prompted you to write this book, and what's your legal experience in this issue?
Well, going back, Ernie, to your lead-in that the Declaration of Independence shaped the form of our government, one key phrase in that Declaration of Independence was that we are a nation of equal people. All people are created equal. We hold these truths. Now, that includes children. And yet, the United Nations Children Fund, UNICEF, reports that there are 150 million children per year are sold as sex slaves. So what prompted me to write
this book... Okay, wait. 150 million, okay, that's like half the population of America, okay?
Yeah.
So they're sold as... I mean, define that. I mean, is it just to be a housekeeper in India, or is it to do... I mean, are they, you know, sex slave... I mean, define your definition of that.
Yes. These are kids... children, and what I'm talking about as young as 6-7 years old, who are in one fashion or the other, unwillingly, against their will, are forced to engage in sexual conduct for money. And it's happening right here in the United States. And this force comes in several ways. One is outright kidnapping. There is false pretenses where children are led into believing that they are going to have jobs or go to school, and instead they are used as sex slaves. And then there are the parents themselves who will take their children and sell them as sex slaves. So this is outright selling people in the same way any form of slavery throughout history has existed. These children, 150 million per year are sold. And you're right. No one wants to think about such a negative concept. No one wants this mind pollution. But if it were not for the abolitionists, you know, the transatlantic slave trade would not have ended. But we have people like John Newman, who wrote Amazing Grace, who fought tirelessly, even though he was a slave trader, to end that practice. Someone has to step up and say, I will be the voice for the voiceless. That is what All People Created Equal is about.
Well, is there a counterpart for your effort in government at any level? I mean, is there some sheriff? Is there some governor? Is there some Department of Justice guy? Is there some, you know, I mean, you would think that somewhere somebody is doing something, you know, in protecting those least able to protect themselves. Anybody?
Yes, there are people. There are prosecutors. There are civil prosecutors like myself who have taken action. As you pointed out, I am a civil rights attorney for over 31 years, and I currently represent a young lady who just a few years ago, at age 16, was chained in a dungeon in Syracuse, New York, for over 7 months and survived. Not only did she escape, but she got this predator arrested. Turned out this multimillionaire had been kidnapping young girls 13, 14, 16 years old and chaining them in his dungeon constructed on his backyard for almost 20 years. Four other girls came forward. The first one was 13 when he kept her for over 3 years. The second one, 14. And then my client, 16. This problem is not just over in Thailand and Singapore and Malaysia. And I just returned from those countries two weeks ago. I'm working on a second nonfiction book. That is the epicenter, but it is happening right here in our United States. I practice in San Francisco Bay Area, and just a stone's throw from my two young granddaughters in Antioch, California, was the kidnapping of this girl, J.C. Dugard, and she was held for 20 years, and this predator fathered two children from her, by her. So, again, down in Florida, just recently a man was convicted of buying children. So this kidnapping and using children as sex slaves and selling them as sex slave is rampant. And so today I wanted to focus on the solution to end child sex slavery, and that's what my book, The Bracelet, focuses on. It is a global guide to protect our children from these child sex predators. And I appreciate you airing this concept, because we have to recruit people to get involved in this issue and to understand that none of us are free.
You know, I understand your point, and recruit is make aware at the very least. I mean, this is I get enraged when I see a county attorney or attorney general of the state, or usually it's the county attorney. And they'll sit up and they'll pound their fist on, we got to get tough on crime. And they're talking about, we got, like, you know, people smoking marijuana over there somewhere. And I'm, are you seriously? You know, we had recently in Seattle, the city prosecutor there ran on and won and then dismissed all these cases. Anything under an ounce, done. You know, you go away. I don't got time to be wasting with this. But it's social and economic engineering coming from the federal government to give them monetary incentive for them to go after this stuff. And I'm going, you know, oh, I have a sex predator across the street he's got, and he just took a child. Yeah, we'll fill out a report. Yeah, but he was smoking a joint. Boom, here comes the helicopters, you know. So I'm wondering, the focus is, I explain to me, when you are dealing with government officials, why it is that this is not a top of their list issue. I mean, if you can demonstrate in their community there's someone, you got enough that you can do a civil prosecution. I mean, and the criminal doesn't follow. Why?
Yes, you hit the nail on the head. You know, we hear about a war on crimes and a war on drugs and a war on terrorism and this war on everything. But have you heard of a war on child sex slavery?
And no, well, we're going to talk about it when we come back. We'll pick it up right there. You know, where's the war on, you know, protect the children? You know, where does that come from? You know, they got a war to protect the children. It's always like, we need to get them in mandatory youth indoctrination camps more. Oh, yeah, that'll help.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Killing people, dying.
Oh, the love's right here on the clay. Your independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, Charles Bonner has a special kind of love for the children. You know, about how about some real love? You know, are you okay? Do you need somebody to help you? Who's helping you? Who's supposed to help you? You know, it's a morality tale. I mean, I mean, you're talking about the darkest. I can imagine. You know, I'll share a little bit with the audience here, real quick. Yesterday afternoon, we had the afternoon show, and we're working with Gary Franchi of Restore the Republic, and he has he focuses on video. He does realityreport.blip.tv, and it's a great thing. We focus more on the radio, but he has a lot of the equipment to do radio, and I have a lot of equipment to do video, and we tried to do both together, and it was stressful between the, you know, I needed all this wires gone and that, you know, and I'm putting a lot of pressure on my wife, and my daughter are down here helping me, and I'm going in there just, you know, they remember back when, you know, we had the restaurant. I mean, we had a family restaurant, man. It was always, man, rock and roll, the stress. And that has been years ago. And then all of a sudden, all that came back. Boom. And my daughter was upset. She was like, I remember this. I don't like it. And I apologized to after it got all done. I mean, it was only like a few minute kind of thing. But boy, it brought back bad memories. And the thing is that I'm going, you know, that stress that my children had, and us running the family restaurant business, I mean, it kind of, there's a bright side on the other side. I mean, they, you know, had a good work ethic and they, you know, got a lot out of it and so on. But they don't need that anymore. We don't need to stress dad, man. Don't even think I'm going to help you. You're going to be doing that. So it comes to mind when we're talking about this issue, because I remember at a young age when you're vulnerable. I mean, there's a lot of pressure. You got school and all this kind of stuff, and you got dad, you know, faster, go, did, you know, this kind of, and that stress, that anxiety that you get, I have seen that in my children's eyes. Can you imagine what it would be if you were a sex slave? You are captured. You're chained. Who advocates for them? How messed up in the head does that make you? And what's amazing to me is that there's such a number of people that are not only victims, but friends of victims, family of victims. This has to have a constituency. There has to be some. They don't want to immerse themselves, and they don't want to relive all this. They don't want to drag it all up. But I tell you what they do want. They would love to see that this not continue happening, that it's not protected, that it's not, you know, avoided, that when you get into, you know, because a lot of times, you know, these guys that are, you know, messed up in the head, you know, they're in politics. You know, they're in positions of authority, of power. They got shiny badges. It's part of their mindset. You know, power attracts the worst sort. And I can, from personal experience of just, I mean, at the infinitesimal small level of stress you could have at a family restaurant, because there's a lot of stress, I can imagine you multiply that times a gazillion. You take away the any kind of protection or acting out or resistance and then the what's a humiliating acts, and so this just, it's dominate. How can it not crush a spirit? And where is the government? I ask you, Charles.
The government, I mean, it's just turning a deaf ear and a blind eye to this serious problem. It is not even taking a passive role. It is taking a silent role. It's just deferring to local law enforcement. And frankly, many of the local law enforcement are part of the problem. They know this problem exists. They participate in it, and they do not aggressively enforce the laws
Why?
On the book. And this is not only in this country, but around the globe.
Why?
Money. This child sex slavery is part of a sex industry that is a $10 billion, and that's billion with a B, billion-dollar industry. I just returned, as I mentioned, from Thailand and Singapore and Malaysia, and I was there looking at little 7-year-old girls with lipstick, 12, 13-year-old girls, 1 o'clock in the morning, selling themselves just, you know, within 10, 20 feet from police officers dressed in uniform. And I went up to the police officers, and I said, listen, I see little children out here engaging in clearly inappropriate conduct, and I see child pornography being sold here of a shocking order. What do you all do about this? And this guy said, well, we are a volunteer police force. I am actually from Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, and we are here from various countries, and we cover 50 different countries, and we are just here to protect the tourists. I said, well, yeah, but who's protecting the children? He said, well, the government does that. Well, frankly, the government takes bribes. The police officers themselves run brothels where they have little 13, 14, 15-year-old girls, and they advertise teens. So this is a problem that is part of this money. We have to take the profit out of child sex slavery.
You know, that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. And it may be controversial how that is done. You guys stay tuned. That it's going to get even more interesting. What's a real solution? We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Oh, we all want to break free. You know, first we got to even know what that is and what the benefit of it is. Charles, I'm going to get controversial on you here, and hopefully I've demonstrated that I'm sympathetic to this issue. I'm supportive of your efforts, and I want there to be less. I want there to be none.
Yes.
There are controversial. That this solution, a solution to this, has been a conversation inside libertarian philosophy for a long time. Because the reason is that we look at things holistically. What causes this kind of stuff? Well, a society that is just, you know, messed up, and then you go, why is it messed up? And you know, blah, blah, blah. But if we look at any other thing like this, any other, I hate to reduce it to this, but a desire, a commodity, a thing, you know, it's like you go to Thailand, you see these, really their private security just there so the tourists, you know, people can make money or whatever. But you have to ask the question, can you go up to one of these children, you have an 11-year-old little girl there, and you say, Are you okay? Do you want to go home? I mean, is this your home? Where's your home? Heck, they may have been born there of the prostitute mother, and you know, never known any different. So, you and some of these kids are. I remember in the book Race Against Evil, they are just kidnapped off the street in Europe. You know, cute little blonde boys and girls, and all of a sudden they're there and are you allowed to go up to an individual and say, do you want to leave? I can take you out that door. Yeah, I'd rather be pretty much anywhere else but here.
Yes. I mean, certainly you can do that.
And the impediment to that is what?
Well, the impediment to that is that you're interfering with someone else's child. Frequently, it may be the parent who has this child out there. You never know. But the proper person to do that would be law enforcement. So what I think we
I'm building up to something here. I'm going to get all controversial, but so I want to get your perspective on this.
Certainly.
At what point can a human being, an individual, be able to make up their own mind regardless of a parent? I mean, can they emancipate themselves? Is there some universal understood, even legal, to where, you know what, I raise my hand. I tell you why. This is, as you are involved in libertarian politics, there, while all the other people are worried about carving up the votes and everything, libertarians are always arguing about how many libertarians can dance on the head of a pin, okay?
Yes.
It's heavy, deep discussion. And one of the most, I go to a national convention in the 90s, one of the biggest, I mean, people knock down, drag out, you know, fist fights kind of issues, was always child emancipation or child rights. Because what happened, it would be a child that at, you know, a preteen went through exactly what you're talking about. They would go through the court system. Law enforcement did get involved, and they just put them right back with the parent, or they would send them to a grandparent that they knew that's where their parent learned it from, and they wanted to go with a neighbor or anywhere else or something. And they never had a voice. They come into the libertarian philosophy to where we advocate for individual rights, and you don't necessarily put an age on it. That's a fictitious kind of, it keeps changing anyway. You know, you're in Arkansas or something and you can get married at 13, then it changes to whatever, or 18, or parents' permission, or you can vote at 18 but you can't drink until 21. I mean, it's just all these subjective numbers come out, and they're arguing, look, I knew it was best for me when I was 10. You know, these guys are making all these decisions for me and I don't get to decide. You know, so I can understand, you know, yeah, you're dealing with parents, so I'm just wondering, you know, more, forget the law. At what point does a human being get to say, you know, I don't want to be here? When does that happen?
Yeah, well, that obviously is a point that we as a society decide based on what is in the best interest of the child.
Oh, yeah. When does that happen?
Well, you know, some children obviously are more mature than other children, but generally in terms of the emancipation, children at age 16 can petition to court and prove that they can be emancipated. We generally, as a society, put the age at 18. You become an adult at 18.
I mean, if you are a sex slave at 8 years old, you're a freaking adult. You have learned something. I mean, you got more exposure of how just, I mean, I want to be able to empower an individual human being that's in a position against their will to be able to say no without having to have a shiny badge come and do it for them.
Well, that's true. And that is part of the solution, is to teach children to say no. We are not preparing our children in the schools, in the churches, in our various institutions to say no. We're saying say no to drugs, but we're not saying to the children, say no to a sexual predator. Say no to someone who's engaging in grooming behavior, in getting involved with children in inappropriate ways.
Okay, let me get to another. I'm building up to this.
Certainly.
You're on. You get to play my game, man. It's my show.
Certainly. Okay, so it's a good game.
This is what I'm building up to. We have a situation to where, like, and drug trafficking, illegal immigration, you know, whatever. The more you clamp down on something, the more profitable it becomes on the free market. Whenever someone would even bring that up and say, you know, I'm for us as individuals taking responsibility as a society, as individuals, quit looking to the shiny badge and just go save the children. Do what you're doing and do civil litigation against these people. Take everything that they got. Expose them for what they are doing. Because the government's not doing it. How's that working out? It's against the law. Big freaking deal. It's not doing anything. So I'm going, we already had that choice. We already have that model. We already have that opportunity. And the most vulnerable of us are not being served. They're not. They're not. You will not be able to argue that they're being, they're not. Okay? So we gotta, can we do something else? Well, the one thing is I'm going, if we have all these, you know, the more law enforcement you get involved, I mean, would it or would it not drive up the profit, drive up the black market, drive up the incentive for them to kidnap more children? You see, you understand where I'm going with this?
Absolutely. And so the solution is not just prosecution solely. It is indeed civil lawsuit. That's what we did to this predator in Syracuse, New York. We took all of his property and gave it to these five victims. We only left a small trust that he had for his two grandchildren. But we took every dime, and he owned property from New York to California.
And I'll bet a lot of these guys that do this kind of stuff and you track down have resources.
Yeah, they do. They have resources to travel around the world and to buy children. And so we need people to get involved, identify these predators. When they return to their home countries, when they come back to the United States, they need to be identified and they need to be prosecuted criminally and prosecuted civilly.
See, that's it. You know, this is the one thing I want to make sure we understand, you know, what the we already have these laws. We already have, they're not doing it.
Yes.
It has not protected them. You can pass, you know, triple the sentence. You know, make it's not going to change it. It needs to be, we have to take it upon ourselves to go after and civil litigate. I mean, you know, is there a damaged party? You damn Skippy there is. Do they have standing? Absolutely. Do you try, you know, this is something that I'm interested in. I'm not interested in passing another law. I'm not interested in having, you know, a prosecutor that's going, I'm going to be tough on you. Because that's just fleeting. That's not a real sign of a healthy culture. I mean, we need to take responsibility.
Yeah, Ernie, we have what I call sexual terrorism. And you're right, children have no voice. They do not vote. They do not make financial contributions to the politicians. They have no voice. So we have to, on the one hand, enforce the laws that we have. I think we need to strengthen them. We need to make it one strike. You harm a child, you go to jail forever. And we need to make it a crime against humanity at the UN, and we need to then civilly prosecute them to make these victims whole. Frankly, you can't make them whole, because as you mentioned earlier, once you are damaged at 8 years old, you can wake that person up at 95 and talk about that experience, and she will cry, or he will cry. And this sexual terrorism is not limited to just girls. There are boys as well. I saw gray-haired men with boys and girls 14, 13 years old in tow, getting in the taxis, going into hotels, and nobody batting an eye that this is illegal conduct. And these were, you know, Americans and Germans and people from England and France and Italy. These are people with the money and with the wherewithal who take this sickness around the world and prey on these homeless victims.
Yeah, I understand, and I want to make sure I make my point, and especially to someone that's in your position that's already had success in civil litigation of this. Whenever you have a criminal prosecution, like Franklin scandal is a perfect example. They had three grand juries. You know, they just stacked the whole system against, you know, they actually prosecuted the victim for perjury doing time.
Yes, 15-year-old girl. Yes.
So I'm going, you know, it's insane. So why am I, because what will happen is they go, hey, you didn't get a criminal indictment, you didn't get a criminal prosecution, a conviction, you didn't, you know, so guess what? You don't have any hardcore, easy flip on do your civil litigation thing. So we need to strengthen the civil litigation. You're going, okay, when you do this and prove this, you get all the goodies. I mean, make it a monetary. Let's get in there. Let's get the money. Because
yeah, oh,
this is cost. cost government money to prosecute this stuff, and they don't get to seize anything. They love marijuana, and we got a car in the deal. I'm going, you know, seriously? So we need to change this. If we want to focus on this, there has to be a monetary incentive for the victim and for the attorneys to advocate for them. And for there has to be, we're going at, until you do that, you are not, and all the effort that you put into criminal prosecution, all the effort that you go into politicians and bureaucrats, you know, heck, they're part of the problem.
They are. Mike Clyde, for example, is right now a basket case. She called me just a few weeks ago, and when she called, I asked her how she was doing, and she said, well, not well. I said, where are you? She said, I'm in another drug rehabilitation program. Now, this has been almost 5 years since this ordeal, since she engineered her escape. The point is that these children suffer post-traumatic stress syndrome. There's no training to help them get skills to be integrated back into society. And then they become further burdens on us in society. That is why this is so important to your listening audience. It is so important to all of us Americans, is that the children are our future. And if we allow all these walking wounded, these walking mental cripples, to now take over and lead our society because they've been victims of child abuse, then we are just totally just turning a blind ear to our responsibility.
No, we got to go at the source. And I tell you, you got sick people, and making more sick people makes more sick people, and you just get a society that's sick.
Right.
So this is, you know, and my I tell you where the base sickness is from my perspective has always been on waiting for somebody else or delegating authority to someone else to fix these kinds of problems.
Yes.
And you know, stop. I just stop. Do you really want to fix this problem? Well, let me tell you where you're not going to find the solution. In government, because that's where these types of people go. In fact, they're recruited. They're recruited to be in positions of power. That's why they're so screwed up in the head. So I'm going, look, man, we got to start taking responsibility for our own lives and our own family and our own society and our own culture by taking action. And I'm telling you, we need to focus on the monetary incentives for saving the children. And if it's civil litigation, fine. Let's go for it. Kick ass, man. Let's get it done. But I'm telling you, if you look to government to do this, they insulate themselves from this. They use it as, you know, war and theft and rape and slavery and every possible dirty, yucky thing you could ever think of has their champion inside the government at the highest levels.
Yes, Ernie, you're absolutely right on in this point. The financial motivation is the key to this. I would love to see a whistleblowing kind of stature so that if we have a volunteer group of people who would go around to these countries, including America, gather evidence of people engaging in this conduct and provide it for their prosecution. Any successful prosecution will also then give a monetary reward to the people who gather the evidence to put these people away so that to make them pay. It's in the pocketbook that is going to stop it.
Yeah, you but know, see, you're talking criminal. I'm telling you, what happens is they'll direct, no, this guy, yeah, we want to get this guy, not this guy. You know, I've seen it happen.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It happened. You've probably seen it happen. It happens all the time.
Oh, yeah.
They're selective on, you know, this guy you don't get. He wears shiny ties. He's got an R after his name. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you know, this guy.
So perfect example. I represented a man who went to jail for molesting a bunch of boys. He was a serial pedophile. He went to jail for 14 years. I represented three other young girls who were molested by a female serial pedophile. She was a basketball coach, very upstanding, had gone to the best university, and she got an ankle bracelet. That is the difference, the selective prosecution here. They equally molested just as many children, one because she was connected to big government. She was the daughter of a very powerful politician. She got to stay home in her own home with an ankle bracelet for a year, and it all went away. The other individual went to San Quentin for 14 years.
Yeah, no, but, I've heard, and you've heard 15 gazillion stories, and I keep focusing. I'm trying to bring you back away from a government solution other than hopefully being a disinterested third party in a civil litigation, and we're taking all their stuff, and the press, and the awareness, and the focus. We need to bring this out of the closet and quit counting on the government to do it. Every time we do, and you get them all beating their chest, oh, I'm going to take care of them and save the children and everything, then it goes away. Every single time, there needs to be a concentrated effort to go after this by the people, by us. We have the technology. We have the internet. We have the civil litigation. We have the system. We have the ability. And we have the victims. Yes. And I'm sick and tired of counting on the government. Because I don't know how many decades or centuries has to go by before we realize they're not going to do it.
No, they're not.
They're not. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock and Charles Bonner, author of The Bracelet, and find out, I don't know, who might help the children.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today.
Yeah, it's all about love. You know, this is, you're not going to have any solution by building up animosity and hate towards whatever. Even the bad guys, if that's your motivation, it eats at you. You become part of the problem. You do it out of love for the victims, out of love for the future. I love for people that I don't know anyone that deserves our love more than an innocent child. You know, and I get all worked up about this issue because I see it such a perfect example of how inept, how corrupt, how useless, how counterproductive, how wasteful, how tyrannical, how lying, how deceitful the government is. They'll sit there and promise you all kinds of, you know, we're better off with, what would happen if you didn't have them? I don't know, something like this? I mean, is that, you know, it would be worse somehow? No, people would take it upon themselves. They're waiting for they're like a buffer. They're an insulator for all the evil that's happening. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. No, you can't take your law in your own hands. No, I'm like, where the heck are you?
You're right. We, the people, must solve this problem, just like you say, Ernie. We're talking about the churches. We're talking about the schools, the religious institutions, the homes, the community organizations.
Yeah, how's that religious institution thing working out?
But they must take the laboring oar, just like they did in the Civil Rights Movement. That's where the meetings were held. That's where the issue was talked about, where people became aware that this problem exists. The one problem we have here is not on anyone's radar. People are not aware that 1.5 million children are sold as sex slaves every year on this planet. They're just not aware of it, and they don't want to hear about it. But we must talk about it, and then, as you say, we the people must fix the problem.
Okay, you said before 150 million, 1.5 million. I mean, which one is it?
No, I'm sorry. It's 1.5 million.
Okay, yeah, I was like, dang, man, 150 million. You know, wow, okay.
No, 1.5 million children every year.
Well, one, you know, the government said, well, if it can save one life, you know, and usually whatever program they got will, you know, cost 10 in the process. But, you know, here we have a situation to where, you know, I mean, every single child is a poster child for this.
Yes, absolutely. Suing the people is definitely the solution. If I can just indicate, my book will paint the way it gives the blueprint. If they can go to Amazon.com and look up The Bracelet, or go to my webpage, TheBraceletNovel.com, and read this book, they will become educated to the problem, to the solution, and the fact, as you say, we the people must solve it. And the first step in solving is to become aware that it exists. Ernie, if you go to YouTube and you Google child sex slavery Los Angeles, child sex slavery Portland, child sex slavery Cambodia. Cambodia, you see little 6-7 year old girls being themselves saying $30 for yum yum. Yum yum refers to a particular to oral sex, and it, you just want to throw up when you see this, and you wonder where's humanity. Well, you know, we have this war on terrorism. This is sexual terrorism. Why isn't this on the UN's front agenda? You know, why isn't we talking about this? Why don't we send a voluntary police force to protect women and children from this human trafficking around the world? And it's because governments are not the solution. It is indeed a we the people type of a solution that we must.
No, the worst. No, the worst. The worst people are in the government allowing this. You know,
yes.
I mean, protecting it. You know, they don't even have to allow. They actually actively protect it.
And many of them are participating.
Oh
in it.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for coming on. We're at the end.